The Apostle Paul has a way of capturing our attention with just a single sentence, like in Ephesians, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast." Or 2 Corinthians, "So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything has become new." Or even in Romans, "For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." That those are sentences we can hang our lives upon. Focused, rich, meaningful wells of wisdom and hope and understanding. But then there are those other sentences that Paul has written that just leave us scratching our heads. Like this morning in Philippians chapter 3, where Paul says that many live as enemies of the cross because their God is the belly. What does Paul mean exactly by "their God is the belly"? Is Paul referring to self-indulgence, where we have too much of something? That could Paul be asking us to practice self-restraint, discerning between wants and needs? It's like that moment at a basketball game. Coach calls timeout. The team huddles up. The cheerleaders run out. There's just enough time for one routine. And then there's that one person with a t-shirt cannon. And he starts launching t-shirts around the stadium. And the crowd loses its mind, like it's never seen a t-shirt before. I once saw a grown man jump up in the air and grab a t-shirt from a 7-year-old child. Is Paul calling us to self-restraint, where our eyes are never bigger than our stomach? But then again, we all know Paul was the first in line at a church potluck. He was the one who always rang the dinner bell. He knew how important a meal was to our faith. The one consistent message throughout Paul's letters to all these distant churches is that he is trying diligently, prayerfully, and faithfully, despite these strict food laws that keep people apart, Jews and Gentiles, he's working to get everyone around the table together. Paul even criticizes those churches in Corinth, because when they get together for the Lord's Supper, and back then it was a full meal, it was the first church potluck, you brought your food from home, that he says the rich had more than they could eat and the poor went home hungry, which does not embody the community that we find around the table of communion. And not only that, he's trying to help these churches in Corinth deal with this dilemma. Can we eat meat that's been sacrificed to an idol and then sold in the marketplace? Some in the church said, "I have a real problem with that. I cannot eat that meal. Others said, idols aren't real. It does not matter. It is okay. But Paul is trying to find a way for the people to be around the table together. Paul always went back for seconds. So are we misreading this, their God is the belly, by assuming it is about self-indulgence, calling us to practice self-restraint? Could it be that the God of the belly are these strict food laws that keep people apart? That is Paul trying to say, do not make what you eat more important than the people you eat with. That these strict food laws are not as important as the people around the table. Because there are those rules that we can hold up so high that they keep us from caring for the person in front of us. In that beautiful poem by T.S. Eliot entitled Ash Wednesday, he writes one of those sentences that captures our attention. He says, teach us to care and not to care, which is a mouthful. Teach us to care and teach us not to care, that we have to learn when to care and when not to care. And perhaps Paul's doing something similar, saying, teach us when to say enough and when to never say enough. That perhaps Paul knows that there are moments, discerning between wants and needs, that we have to practice self-restraint. That at some point we say, I've had enough. I want to leave more for others. But then there are those other things. Providing a warm welcome, showing sincere hospitality, practicing generous compassion, having a forgiving heart. To those things, we never say enough. Then when it comes to our wants, we say enough. But when it comes to gentleness, meekness, kindness, humility, we never say enough to those things. And never saying enough is rather hard. If we are going to give time to those things that matter the most, we have to first take time away from something else. Or if we hope to practice kindness towards strangers, it never really comes at a convenient time. Or if we want to develop empathy, we have to take the risk of stepping into somebody else's shoes and seeing the world from a completely different perspective where we might never be the same. Or if we lean in and listen closely, we just might hear the voice of God calling us to something new. That Lent is a journey. It takes us from Ash Wednesday to Good Friday, and sometimes much further than that. Because it takes us back to the very heart of God, where when we look at the life of Jesus, we see this love that is willing to give of itself for others. willing to let go of lesser things, to say enough, and willing to hold on to greater things, never saying enough to them. It's why during Lent, some have practiced giving something up, practicing self-restraint, discerning between wants and needs, letting go of lesser things. Like where Paul writes in Philippians 3:7, "Whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ." That is just another way of saying, I'm letting go of lesser things because I have had enough of them. But others have practiced Lent by adding something to their lives, trying to show more kindness, to practice more patience, to listen more to others before we speak, to pray for those whom it is hard for us to pray for. Like where Paul writes in Philippians 4:8, "Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things." To those things, we practice never saying enough. It's why in Lent, on Ash Wednesday, we begin this season with the mark of a cross on our foreheads, reminding us to let go of lesser things, remembering what is truly important in this life. And it's why at the end of Lent, on Good Friday, we stand before the cross, seeing again God's deepest concern and commitment for this world, never saying enough to the ways of Jesus. Knowing that the depths of God's love will always take us beyond the journey of Lent, where we find a meaningful life of purpose and grace. Amen.